I'm here with Vangelis and with Yota Masuridou, who is a lawyer from Greece. And yeah, I would like you to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Vangelis. I live and work here in Tübingen. And thank you, Miri, for hosting us here today. We would like to discuss a few things about what is going on in Greece. And for that reason, we also invited a friend from Greece, Yota Masuridou. She's the vice president of the European Democratic Lawyers. It's a confederation of lawyers organizations from Europe, in Europe, which organizations that share the same democratic ideals, namely to defend the rights of citizens by preserving the independence of lawyers. And Yota lives also in Athens, in Greece, so she can give us a more direct view, a picture of what is going on in Greece.
I am Yota Masuridou. I am a lawyer living in Athens. And it's nice to have this nice discussion with you to understand what is going on with a little bit of perspective, how this affects whole Europe. Thank you very much.
We are talking today about like what's going on in Greece in general, which sounds like a huge topic. But yeah, you can maybe give us more insights what's actually going on. There's a demonstration on the coming Saturday, the 27th of March, at 2 in Stuttgart at Schlossplatz. And yeah, I wanted to ask you, what is it about? Why do we need to go to the streets to support what's going on in Greece?
Mainly, one thing that we wanted to make public and also raise awareness, let's say, to the German people, is about the fact that lately the state violates, in Greece, the state violates basic human rights and basic civil rights. And even the very same legislations that this government has put in force when it came to power, we would not call it a military coup, of course, or a real junta, because it's an elected government. But they really show an ideology and a rhetoric and a political attitude that is largely based on totalitarian principles, and it's very similar, let's say, to what we see that is going on in Hungary of Viktor Orban, or in Turkey of Erdogan. So there's a lot of police suppression and injustice and terrible police brutality that has been escalating. So it's not getting less, it's getting more, and it's getting more wild, and they simply do whatever they want. So, and at the same time, there's this control of the mass media and censorship and violation of freedom of speech. This is also another big chapter that we would like to comment. And in general, there is a suppression of the basic constitutional rights, that such as the right to assembly or the right to demonstrate. And this is really something that we see for the first time in Greece under a regime of parliamentary democracy. And Yota can also tell us more about this when we start to go into more details.
The issue, the main issue, we could say that to begin with, is that with the excuse of the pandemic of COVID-19 in Greece, just to tell you that we are in an extreme lockdown since November. That means that we are allowed to exit our houses only for specific reasons. The schools, with a small few days that were opened, are continuously closed for all ages of children. And at the same time, the government keeps the parliament open and passes by its own majority all the time ongoing laws that affect social life and regulate in general how the system will be in Greece. Every day and every week we have new legislation without any possibility to have a dialogue with the society and to make a proper dialogue inside the parliament. To give you some concrete examples, while the universities are closed almost 1 year now due to the pandemic and everything is going online, the government passed a law by its own majority creating specific police units for the universities. There was no need to do this. This was just an attempt and a use excuse to use the pandemic and to have no other voices against that to pass such a law. This was the first issue that brought people on the streets. The students were the first ones to break the prohibition of movement, let's say, due to the pandemic, and go on the streets to demonstrate. Also, the whole academic community was against this measure. It's the first state in Europe that will have police units specifically for the universities. So there is another agenda in general going on, irrelevant with the state. For example, as I said, the people are locked in their houses. Domestic violence is being raised in an extreme percentage due to the pandemic and everything that this brings to the families and individuals. And the government just now put in the parliament a draft law to change family law issues on a way that not to make it more progressive. We would say, for example, that if you change family law in 2021, this would be in order to recognize the right of homosexuals to create family. No, they don't do this. They will bring changes that bring us back to the 80s, before the law that is currently applicable, that really brought equality between men and women in the whole spectrum of family. Also, there are a lot of demonstrations right now. They started with a demand of a prisoner to be, because he was not transferred to a prison he should have been transferred according to a law that the government passed itself. He started the hunger strike. So on the occasion of this, there were many solidarity protests for the demands of this prisoner to be transferred to the proper prison that he should have been transferred. There was excessive police violence against these demonstrations. And as a result, the issue of police violence became very obvious, as you saw all in the news that the last weeks are in international media. This hunger strike finished, but the people are still on the streets calling against police measures. Because I would like to mention also that in order to check that the people comply with the lockdown, the government gave all the responsibility to the police. So the police, in many occasions, made a very unfair exercise of its duties. And it put, for example, economic fines to cases where people had really a reason to be out in the street and very unfair treatment. Also, the right to demonstrate, despite the fact that it is constitutional, is forcibly denied and neglected by the government and the police. And demonstrators face a lot of problems with the issue of the pandemic that hinders the right to demonstrate. I would like to add in my previous comment that there is an extensive production of laws by the government during the pandemic that it affects even from Natura protected environmental areas. With big investments that will destroy whole mountains and protected spaces, from labor rights, from family law rights, from university laws and everything. So that means that there is a outrage of the people that cannot express because they cannot participate in this legislative process. But at the same time, people try to protect mountains. They make they mobilize in order to protect the destroyal of mountains and virgin for protected forests. Even inside archaeological sites, they will destroy for these investments. So there is a lot of outrage that somehow has to be expressed. And this is a reason why, in the end, the police is so brutal. But at the same time, it has to be noted that the demonstrations are not violent. The people know and understand that they have to protest. And this is the only way to protest this kind of governmental policies.
Yeah, you already mentioned that the demonstrations were permitted due to the lockdown, but people went still on the streets to fight for their rights. Yeah, you mentioned that the solidarity protest with the prisoner who was in hunger strike did face police brutality. What is about the other demonstrations? How does the police react?
There is, besides these demos, the demonstrations for the rights of the political prisoner Dimitris Koufodinas, there are also other groups of the society that are taking on the streets to demand the rights and to demand basic changes, like, for example, doctors and people who work in the hospitals. They have been calling for support from the government to hire more doctors, hire more nurses that are needed in the hospitals due to the pandemic. And instead of that, the state hires, the government hires like 1,000 policemen to control and the universities to for the surveillance and then control of the universities. And there are also, like Jota said before, the students and the teachers in higher education that are on the streets to defend against this new law that is the government wants to pass, already passed actually. And by the way, they passed this new law with their own majority plus the votes of the far right in the parliament. So this is important also to mention that there are a lot of groups, different groups of people on the streets, not only in solidarity with Dimitris Koufodinas, which was the beginning for a wave of demonstrations, of massive demonstrations with thousands of people who went on the streets in solidarity with him, but also in terms of health and education. I think that we can start with this, what Jota was saying before. I think it's important to start with the right to protest, the right to say that something to against something if you think that it's not right, and because this government with pandemic as the excuse, everybody's locked inside and you cannot do nothing. They found the perfect time to pass these new laws that are against the constitutional right to assembly and to protest. Maybe Jota, you can say a few words about this.
Yes, the treatment, the way the government reacts to demonstrations differs, but it's always the same modus of violating the right to demonstrate. For example, on 25 of November, there was a small gathering of feminists in the main Syntagma, the central Syntagma square of Athens, in front of the parliament. And very few people were demonstrating, holding placards for women's rights and taking care of all the measures for the pandemic. They were with masks, with distances. It was not a crowd. They were not even closing any street. Without any reason, the police came to them, obliged them to come all together. That means that the police puts the health of the people under threat because of the pandemic, and took them in the police station under these conditions and put them a fine that they violated. They were illegally out on the street due to the pandemic, and then pressed charges against them. So this shows that the government, with just using the pandemic, wanted to let the people not being able even to express something, even in a symbolic way. This was a main fact for me, a main event, because it showed that this government does not want even to listen at anything on these grounds. Later on, the minister had to say, to admit publicly, that it was wrong that these feminists were arrested. But this doesn't mean anything, because they still face charges, for example. So we speak about endless penal charges, that we all understand that these penal charges are not conducted on our fantasies. There is a police organ testifying that someone did an illegal act, and this person has to face charges then. So we speak about unfair penal procedures. Later on other occasions with the students, when the students started protesting, in some cases the police was intervening immediately with excessive force, not allowing anybody to be able to demonstrate. Or, for example, when massive demonstrations took place, the head of the police made an illegal decision to say that nobody can demonstrate for 2 days all over around Greece. This is totally illegal because there was no analogy in this measure, and of course there was no medical reasons from specific committees that advised the state why the demonstrations are a problem in COVID-19 pandemic, when demonstrations really keep the measures they have to keep. So also in this kind of cases, they arrested demonstrators. They even arrested lawyers that were going to go for help with people that were closed in buildings from the police. So we had an attack not only for demonstrations, but to the legal representatives of the demonstrators. They even put fines to the lawyers that they were illegally out on the street, while the lawyer can really exercise his or her duties anywhere when he goes to help a person. So we had such kind of events. We have also to say that all this this government brought back specific forces that the previous police forces, that the previous government had cancelled, because these police units are, let's say, police officers that they take without any education about police, and they put them on the street with specific tasks to go against the demonstrators. These are the police units that are the most violent, and these are the ones that create the most problems. It's a political decision from the government to use these units, and they are the ones that are accused for using excessive force. Also, we have the new form, this they took from Germany, I can suppose, because I have seen these measures in demonstrations in Germany. They bring this tank with the water tank now. This is a new thing. And the way they use it on the crowd, it's horrible. The first time, you can all see in public videos, it was used when the decision against the Golden Dawn in the trial of this Nazi organization was announced. There was a tremendous crowd outside the court, very peaceful, nothing. They were just celebrating the fact that when the decision was announced and these people were convicted as a criminal organization, and immediately the police used this water tank without any reason just to spread the crowd. These were the clear messages that this government do not want people to demonstrate. Now, the last week, there was a demonstration called initially by doctors in the public sector. We have to make it two different issues. It's another thing, the doctors in the private sector, and another thing, the doctors in the public sector, because the second ones are the ones that are only dealing with the pandemic without real support. They really do a very heroic attempt to do their job and their duty. But at the same time, they are themselves persecuted. Imagine, they make penal files against the representatives of doctors of public hospitals that speak about the non-compliance of the government with the measures they should take in order to make the hospitals deal with the pandemic. These doctors are called in penal investigations, for example. So last week we had a demonstration called by doctors that it was supported also by the movement now that speaks against police brutality and wants justice. This demonstration, it was allowed to happen without any problems, because a few days ago we had tortures in demonstrators. So the outrage made it for the moment to behave properly. Yesterday there were demonstrations against racism with refugees in many different parts of Greece. Again, in the majority of the cases, we didn't have, the people were allowed to say what they can do, they want to demonstrate about. But always, you never know how this can be done, because you never know how the police will react when you go for a demonstration.
When we talk about police brutality and suppression, in Volos, for example, some months ago, the police, severely a young man, and they left him lying on the street. His name was Vasilis Mangos. He was just a boy. I don't remember how old, but like in human. And the boy died a few days later because of these injuries. Lately, the riot squad, the riot police, they put people during the demonstrations, or even before the demonstrations, before they even start, or after the demonstrations, chasing people, and they beat them up and just leave them lying on the streets. And this is not just one case. It happens repeatedly, and we are talking about really raw violence, barbarian violence, brutality. And of course, they are also allergic. The police is also allergic to reporters and anyone who holds a camera, and they always target those. Lately, there was a big demonstration in the neighborhood of Nea Smyrni in Athens, and there were a lot of clashes with the police. And after that, a day after that, they literally kidnapped a 21-year-old boy outside, because obviously because he's a member of an anarchist group, and they kidnapped him in the streets in daylight. And if you read his interview, it's really amazing. He was wondering if the people who are kidnap him are gangsters or police. Then he understood it's the police, of course. They put him a cloth in his head, they took him to the police headquarters, and they tortured him for more than 8 hours. And we are talking about things that they were doing, like it's really crazy. It's Middle Ages torturing. A lot of people coming and beating him, other people, policemen, making, telling him that they are going to rape him or rape even his dog. They were saying, at some point they even opened the window, and they were telling him, if you want to save yourself, you can jump. And you're free to jump and have this finished sooner, it's amazing what they're doing. They first charged him for attempt to kill a policeman, and then they withdraw this accusation. He's gonna have a trial at some point. He gave an interview to a newspaper, one of, let's say, the mainstream newspapers that try to be somehow independent, and now even the newspaper has problems. The ministry is attacking now the newspaper for publishing this interview, where this boy describes the tortures that he had.
We already went very much into details, which is good, I guess, so to get like a general understanding of what's happening and what's going on. But I would like to get a step back at this point because I am, as a person who's not very much informed about Greece politics, I wonder, because Vangelis, you earlier made the comparison to Viktor Orban's Hungary. And when I think about like European or like states of the European Union that went more authoritarian like that in the past years, it was states that had a far-right government. And as far as I understand, in Greece, there's this neoliberal party governing. And maybe you can explain a little bit more about like how the government is at the moment, like politically.
I can say, and Jota can help me. For me, what is important to stress is that what we see now in Greece is that neoliberal policies do not come along with this neutral picture that the right wing politicians want to promote, that it's all about a free market society. They also come together with an extreme violation of basic rights, and they also come together with a dismantling of the society and of basic social rights and social benefits. And in at least in the south of Europe that we know, like Greece, for example, these neoliberal policies, they also come together with a police state, with brutality from police, with really a control of any kind of disagreement. They try to shut the mouths of anybody who wants to say something different or oppose the policies of the government. Of course, I don't live now in Greece, so maybe Jota, you can also add a few things about this. For example, we can comment very briefly about this new law that they have not passed this new law yet, but it's about the children. For example, if somebody's arrested in a demonstration, and then they want to do to make to have this new law, the state will, the police will be able to look automatically if this arrested person has children, and if he or she has children, the police will be in charge of the children, of deciding how the children should be treated instead of social services. This is really something that brings to mind, or the parents, yes. This is really something that brings to mind the policies of Viktor Orban and these neoliberal policies. And it's something that you could never imagine that it could happen in a member of the European Union, right? I mean, personally, I could imagine it, but some people think that members of the European Union, no way that you cannot do have these things. But yes, now in Greece, there are even thoughts that who's going to take care of the children is the police that is going to decide on that. They even think about making a law for that. So lately, there was also another discussion about, the member of the New Democracy of the ruling party, the member of the New Democracy in the European Parliament, I think he voted against the right of women the right for abortion. So this is really, I don't know how to describe this. It's really ridiculous things that we would never imagine that they would happen. Maybe Jota, you can say a few more things about why we think this is relevant to the German people as well, and to what is going on in the rest of Europe.
I think without going into very much details that someone who is living far is a little bit complicated to understand, we could see it on a broader picture. And let's say that the last years, the whole European societies are having democratic issues because we see a right-wing rhetoric that really affects public discourse and European policies all over around Europe. This exists in Germany, in France, in Italy, so it came to Greece also with the last government. The point is, how I would put it, is that in this concept, in this general concept, the European societies decide to have their own space clean and have the problems and the illegalities somewhere else. So it's like the operation Clean Hands, and we throw the problem to someone else. In a European perspective, this happens, for example, with the border states, with the issues of refugees, that this is a reason that really determined this right-wing rhetoric in whole European states. So right now, the Greek government openly violates international laws and fundamental rights by putting people in danger and push back people while they try to turn in Greece. Europeans know, and not only know, but it seems that they participate also with European agencies. You know the stories with Frontex boats, that these Frontex boats had a German crew, and they try to make investigations. Nobody can prove everything, nothing, so it's clean. Clear, but at the same time, it's clear for everybody that the European government also violates this, and they keep them because they do the dirty job. They are now, they write it openly, and they claim like that we guard the gates of Europe. I would like in this regard to mention that if you remember in March 2020, end of April, beginning of March, there was this, let's call it, crisis in the borders between Greece and Turkey when Erdogan decided to open the gates, the borders, and pushed many, many thousands of asylum seekers and refugees to arrive in the Greek soil. If you remember at that time, many countries all over around Europe spent on a state level, not on a European decision. They have sent there their best military equipment towards the borders of Europe. And after that, many European Nazi groups came also to make militia. So this is the level of these policies. We create militia with armed militia to take the law in their hands and protect whatever they consider a European culture against whichever enemy they decide. But at the same time, so the Europeans accept the violations of the Greeks and participate on them also. And at the same time, they bargain with Erdogan regime in Turkey that violates every concept of law that we can imagine, and they bargain with Erdogan in order for Erdogan to keep the refugees on Turkish soil so that the Europeans will be more clean. So this is a counter effect that will affect every democratic aspect of our lives. If we don't do something, it doesn't mean anything that if the problem is not in Germany, if it is in Greece. If it is not in Greece, it goes to Turkey, so nobody cares. This is something that we really try to show on a general, central level as European democratic lawyers as well, and try to show that it's a responsibility of all, and the people of Europe have to understand and speak now.
I would also like to add what Yota just said is also obvious, that what we are talking about does not affect only the refugees, for example, that Yota mentioned, or the refugee issue, right? The refugees are the first ones to be hit by this kind of policies. They are the first ones that will be detained. For example, in Moria, there were 13,000 people in the biggest camp in Europe, right? And they were for 5 months detained in this camp. They could not do anything, go out and do nothing with the excuse of the pandemic. Until, of course, maybe you know about it, until the camp was set on fire. So the refugees or the political prisoners, like Holdinas that we mentioned before, the people who are engaged in social struggle, and the people of the lowest ranks of the society, the poorest people, these will be the first to be hit, yes, but these are not the only ones, and these are not the only ones that the system targets in this kind of situations, and the neoliberal policies. They start with these classes of, let's say, society or of these social identities like refugees or prisoners. They start with this maybe because these are the most vulnerable parts of the society, but they affect the entire society, all of us. And this is something that the rest of the people need to keep in mind, even here in Germany.
You mentioned earlier that, yeah, also like media is impacted by this new authoritarian policies. And I'm asking myself, how is the public discourse about the police, like the growing police violence, and about like the limiting of human rights increase? Like, how is the media talking about it? How are people on the internet talking about it?
So, yeah, this is a big issue. And this was one of the first steps, one of the first things that the new government did when they came to power. They immediately issued new laws and new legislations and new to control the media. So they are they're not the mass media right now. They're not just government friendly. They are really reducing like parrots the voice of the government and their arguments and their agenda. They do not show or talk about any negative news about the government. They say nothing about what the government should have been doing to fight the pandemic, for example, and what are the mistakes that they have been doing, there's this mass media list that the government a list of mass media that the government funded. They gave them money to just say what the government wants to say through the television and the radio. It's really unbelievable. The police is talking through television to the people, and they are covering up scandals like a new scandal with pedophiles and crimes. But this censorship and the control of social media it sparked reaction from the people and from the people who are active in social media. So the social media are now taking control of counter information. And what was also happening, and this is very important to mention, is that they also shut down personal profiles in Facebook, for example, personal profiles of journalists, of lawyers, of academics. And they also put constraints on journalist sites, for example, the Press Project website. And even Amnesty International has issued a formal complaint about the situation of censorship in Greece. So this is another thing that links what is going on in Greece to the Turkey of Erdogan or the Hungary of Orban.
I would like to say that when the new government took power, it changed the legislative regime of the Greek press agency and put it under the government. So only with that we understand that they have control of the media. Further on, they have control of all the private media. During a lot of, even the previous government could not have access to the media, just to give you an example. With the pandemic, they gave them specific money with the excuse of making public campaign for the pandemic, like Vangelis said. Now, the whole concept of information is done by alternative media, social media, and issues like that. And we are afraid that the new thing that they will try to bring will be a legal text to control social media, for example, if we go with the rhetoric of Orban and Erdogan and this kind of policies. We are here to see that. But one also more thing is not only that the media have only one rhetoric supporting the governmental policies. They even try to manipulate facts. That means that they act contrary to their role as journalists to provide information. For example, they take videos that are taken by people and they change the videos in order to show something else. So we speak about a real and orchestrated attempt to show something else. But this is not something new. I would like to say that in 2015, when we had the referendum in the summer of 2015, the media were making excessive campaigns in order for the people to vote yes for the referendum. But in the reality, the people voted the opposite. So the people really have the power to go against the influence of the media. But of course, this shows how many instruments the governments are using, and all this together, they put it under the category of the flawed democracy.
A hashtag in Twitter that is one of the most popular is called Boycott Greek Media. There was another hashtag that was for a long time also the most popular, let's say, in Twitter, and that was the hashtag Greek Junta. Or Christochoidis, which is the name of the minister of law and order, Christochoidis resigned. So, and there, for example, when Dimitris Koufodinas was doing his hunger strike, there were like, I don't know how, maybe Yota can correct me, but like 20,000 appeals from users of social media, Facebook, for example, to the not the prime minister, but the president of democracy, for the favor of the prisoner, and yeah, this is also shows how people are taking information in their hands through the social media and the independent media, like Yota said before, and of course the regime does not like that and is fighting it with many, many different ways.
I have one question that I didn't ask before, but I would like to have maybe you can answer like very quickly, because I would like to know, is like you told me about like police like getting more and more rights. How is the military involved in that?
No, we don't have involvement of the military, whatever. We have to deal with demonstrations and things like that. But it's unclear what the military is doing at the border areas with the issue of safeguarding the borders against the enemy, who is the refugees. There, nobody knows who is involved and in what.
Yes, the military is they save the military for the refugees, the number one threat right now, together with the political activists.
Okay, yeah, thank you for the quick answer. One really, really last question, but how can people outside of Greece support the struggle in Greece?
First of all, with spreading the information, camp formation is right now one of the most important things. And then, of course, with solidarity, whatever means are offered, demonstrations, kundgebung, whatever people can think of, it's important.
I think that using all the technologies, the people should come together and exchange information and experiences. This is one thing, because we really need to know and be in contact all together. And the other thing is, for example, when there was a lot of police brutality in the demonstrations, we, as European democratic lawyers, made a public call to the whole world against this. And immediately, within one day, we had signatures from all over around, from South Africa to Ukraine to the United States of America, many European states. And this solidarity call, for example, supported a lot of the people, and because it showed that you have support. So it is important to know that what is happening in Greece is not just a local domestic issue. These are policies really that go and will go to more states, because this is what we really have to experience and fight politically right now. Thank you.